A snoozling room. Well, if you're like me and you hear such a name, you think snooze. And yes, that's actually part of the root of the word. And it makes me appreciate those times I can grab a quick siesta when needed. But this morning's guest is going to tell us far more about what a snoozling or schnoozling room is and the real benefits to those who use them. Colleen Baish, a child life specialist at Upstate, is with us in the studio this morning. Good morning, Colleen.
Good morning.
And in effect, you kind of came to Syracuse because of this concept, didn't you?
Well, I've had the opportunity to work at some fantastic children's hospitals across the country, and University Hospital and Upstate Children's Hospital really is progressive and recognizes what kids and families need and maybe thinking outside of the box a little bit. So this is something that definitely sparked my interest, so I'm very happy to be here.
Well, that's great. Well, we like to talk about the brain gain we have here in Central New York. You're a perfect example, and now you're going to tell us about this very strange word, schnoozling, you pronounce it? What is a schnoozling room?
Well, it's also can be termed as a multi-sensory environment, and it's really where you create an environment where a child can utilize all of their senses. So we're going to use sight, sound, texture, and touch. And those are different areas that we can get into the brain by that particular pathway.
And use them for therapies.
Yes.
You're going to use them to actually help children cope with illness.
Correct.
Even be cured, perhaps, of some of the problems they have. So let's talk about this word schnoozling, where it comes from. It's actually, I looked it up. It said it's formed from the Dutch snuffelen, which means to sniff, and dozeling, which means to doze or to snooze. So yes, maybe a little bit to snooze, but not so much like taking a nap, is it?
Well, some you may find us in there, and a kid may be so relaxed that they are just kind of hanging out on a beanbag or a soft mattress, and they are really, truly relaxing.
They are. Oh, well, then let's talk about. I walk into this room. What do I see? What do I hear? What's it like?
Well, the first thing that you'd probably notice is that the lights are different. Typically, they're dim. Mm-hmm. Soft lighting. Maybe you'll see strands of lights. Maybe you'll see a light wheel with different colors. So depending on how the room is set up or what that particular child needs, one of the first things you may notice is the lights and how they're different from maybe the hospital hallway or the lights in your exam room.
And how do you determine? Do you determine by the child what kind of lighting you want to have?
Sure, yes. The great thing about a multi-sensory room or a schnoozling room is that you can control. So if you need to have the lights up a little bit or you need to dim them down so almost there's almost no lighting, your sounds are increased or decreased. So that's all controlled by the therapist that's working in the room, and it's really child-led.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. So, and you said sounds. So what kinds of sounds do I hear?
It may be soft music. It may be rhythmic music. One of our music therapists, Ann Minton, she's pretty much our go-to on helping us figure out what types of music that kids respond to and what types of music are therapeutic for them.
And, you know, we do hear about music therapy, music being used in therapy for a number of things. Now, and then you also have textures, you said?
Yes. It may be a sheet. It may be a knobbed ball. It may be a scouring pad.
Okay.
It may be felt strands.
And these are all textures that help children cope with things. So let's talk, and then I also want to make the point that not all schnoozling rooms are devoted to children, are they?
No.
There can be some for adults. What kinds of applications would they have for adults?
Typically for a schnoozling room or a multi-sensory room, you will find adults with developmental disabilities traditionally, and it's really an avenue that therapists can use to increase their outcomes or have better outcomes for therapeutic interventions. What's happening now is people are realizing that these types of rooms have an effect on distress, have an effect on pain, and a lot of our adult units are incorporating these types of rooms into their programs or into their facilities.
They are. And it's specifically to help anyone cope with those kinds of pains and stresses and so forth. So now, but the snoozling room we're talking about today is going to be in the new children's hospital.
Yes.
Speak to me about that.
It's very exciting. What kids will have the opportunity to do is, to get out of their room.
Okay.
Kids are under a lot of stress. They oftentimes come in unexpected.
They're scared.
They can be scared. It's an unfamiliar environment for many.
Mm-hmm.
So what the snoozling room will provide an area where they can go uninterrupted. No one's going to bug them for a blood pressure. No one's going to bother them for a test. And they can truly go in at their pace and relax to where they want to be.
And kind of a retreat type of thing?
I would say so.
Yeah.
I would say so.
And are they usually there alone? It sounds like there's a therapist with them.
Yes. We have occupational therapists, physical therapists who use multisensory rooms for their therapy. Child life specialists will be focusing on the pain and the stress component of it. And also our music therapists will also be utilizing that space.
Excellent. And what about like their parents or their caregivers? Do they participate as well?
We would encourage that. I'm not sure how many of our caregivers or patients will have had experience in the Schnuzlin room. Mm-hmm. This may be a new concept for many people. I'm going to guess that.
Yes, I think so. I mean, I'd never even heard of them before I knew you were coming today.
So we would invite that. A lot of times in pediatrics, you invite the caregiver along with the therapy. You know, for older kids, sometimes they may need a break from everything. So
sure.
We could provide that option. You know, for the teenager, if they want to just go in there by themselves with a therapist, great.
But well, you know, I read that there are actually these Schnuzlin rooms all over the world. In fact, I think there were 1,200 in Germany or something like that.
Yeah.
So this isn't really a new concept.
No, and we're pretty lucky that here in Syracuse, New York, we've got this modality that's being utilized all over the world.
Well, and here's another question. How many children's hospitals actually have these Schnuzlin rooms?
To my knowledge, we will be the only children's hospital that has a dedicated space for the multisensory Schnuzlin room. A lot of times you can have a traveling Schnuzlin cart where you bring some of the materials into the patient's room, mm-hmm. or maybe into a treatment room, but we're really dedicating an entire space to the concept of it.
That is just fantastic. Well, Colleen Bache, Child Life Specialist from Upstate, this is fascinating. I'd love for you to come back in a year after it's been in use for a little while. You can tell us about some of the success stories.
I would love to.
But we're glad to have you here in Central New York, and we're glad we're going to have a Schnuzlin room.
Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's checkup from the neck up. Well, dear listeners, there I was last Thursday as the sun was setting, tired, wired, hungry. I'm scrounging the fridge and visit the danger zone, the freezer, where behind the chicken breasts I spy an unopened ice cream carton with a patriotic blue banner waving, no fat, and a star exploding, one-third fewer calories. My alleged brain speaks. Let's have just 2 spoonfuls to defang the sweet tooth. I remember I'm a runner trying to lose a couple pounds to reach my marathon goal. Every pound makes it harder, so I think, ponder, cogitate, and then, okay, 2 spoonfuls, but let's make them soup spoons. 20 minutes later, after just one more bite, how does no fat taste so good? It's okay, it's one-third less. At least you aren't eating the cookies and the cake in the freezer, too. You can run it off tomorrow. Soon I'm seeing the cardboard inside of the carton, a bit of the bottom, and then the top layer of ice cream was melting, so I had to eat that to prevent freezer burn. Yeah, no matter whether our goal is to lose weight, cut back drinking, or say less nasty and more nice, or TV less and move more, sometimes we all say the heck with the goal and fall back on same old, same old. One thing that helps in advance is exploding the unreal expectation that setbacks won't happen to me. And stopping beating ourselves up as worthless or fat or alcoholic, disgusting, nasty, lazy bums when we do drop the goal. And instead, no, we're just human beings who've, for example, picked up the ice cream shovel and need to put it down again so we can limit the damage and refocus on our goal. So on this July 4th weekend, to help us remember to declare independence from fixation on unreal expectations, join me now in a new verse just discovered of our national anthem. Oh, say, can you see by the fridge's dim light what so wildly we ate at last Thursday's last gleaming, whose locale stripes and fat-free stars through the perilous fight on the carton we watched were enticingly streaming. But the cookies and cake, the baked goods in cold air, gave proof through the night that our goal was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave on the carton of fat-free and the home of the craved? I'm Dr. Rich O'Neill. Thanks for listening.